Are you gonna ask me if I'm crushing any P?
No.
That's like the worst question.
La 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 la. Episode 404. That's page not found on the web. Also chicken or beef. 404. When you
I got that now, but I got really scared.
You
looked
so confused.
Well, I thought, oh no, did he watch the wrong episode?
Yeah, I watched the episode called Page Not Found on the Web.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Yeah, welcome.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you for joining us for another Wednesday edition of Gilmore Guys. Guys, we, in making this show, I think we had a vision. We had, we had a dream. Am I right?
Don't point to me. Don't point to me. Continue. And,
we wanted to make something where, like, we had, like, a recurring cast of characters that would come back on this show.
Our own Stars Hollow, if you
Our own little Stars Hollow, where, oh, yeah, that's the guy with the big beard, D.C. Pearson. He has a beautiful mind and a heart of gold. Oh, that's Allie Gertz. She's a beautiful singing voice, but she gets nervous sometimes and weirdly aggressive. Not weirdly, we love her. Oh, that's Jamie Woodham. The little scene dancing elf who lives under the bridge.
What?
And then, guys, we need to remember that our first of these recurring guests, well, actually, I'll say no more. Let me just introduce him right now. The usual way we introduce people. La la,
la la,
special guest. Well, guys, you know this gentleman from a billion things. La la. He was recently on the OMFG podcast, as we all were. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Anthony Trolley.
Why did we let him pick music?
What is this?
What's happening, Anthony? Oh, the build up just to him saying I'm back was not
no, worth.
I cut out like 15 seconds before.
Really?
It goes on for like about 30 seconds.
Is that AC/DC?
No, it's Aerosmith.
Oh.
I'm back.
I told Demi before the episode, I was like I picked a song. It was in every movie trailer from like 2002 to 2005, I want to say.
Every sequel, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, it was always the sequel. Yeah.
Was it like in Ghost Rider? That sounds like a Ghost Rider song.
I want to say it was the first one, and if you remember this, was like Space Cowboys.
Oh.
I think.
You had two choices, though. What was the other one? Or are you gonna save that?
I was going to say, well, no, I'll say it because I don't know if I'll ever use it because it's... I'll probably use it.
Okay.
All right, 504. We'll see.
Yeah, 504. I got another song. What's going on, guys?
Anthony, thanks for coming back.
So much has changed since we last talked.
Yeah. Do you feel like it has?
I feel like it has because like I'm sharing the microphone with... I mean, the people who have used this microphone are way cooler than I will ever be. And
that's
you guys,
true.
Fair to say.
Yeah.
Fair to say. And then on top of that, you guys had an amazing live show, which congratulations.
That you cameoed on.
I wasn't going to, but then it was like I felt this weird thing where I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go. I'm going to support my friends. And then I'm up on the balcony because I'm Gatsbying. That's what I call it when you stand on a balcony overlooking a crowd of people.
Oh, sure.
You got to Gatsby it.
Yeah.
You know, like I felt like Leonardo DiCaprio, but slightly better looking. And like all of a sudden the show starts and you guys are like, oh, we even have friends in the crowd. And then I think Demi said something like, oh, yeah, Trolley's here.
I did.
And I was like, I don't say anything. Don't make this about you. This isn't your moment. And then it went on for like a few seconds where I was like, I gotta say this. I can't leave him hanging. Like, what if you guys just stopped the show and the rest of the show was like, seriously, where's Anthony? Like, looking out into the crowd. Wait.
Yeah.
Is he here?
Okay?
You were the only guest we had planned.
Can we turn the lights on? Can we turn the house lights on? And oh, there he is. Hi. Yeah, anyway.
That'd be funny to plan a guest in the audience.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Price is Right style.
That would be awesome. That would be super awesome.
Thank you for coming back for the fourth time.
Your last episode
was our longest yet.
Oh, I'm going to double it today.
As people listening already know, you have.
I've already doubled it. Like, just thinking about it, we're going to do it. I wish that we could like do a live episode that people could we could be like, hey, do you guys want me to, you know, go for 4 hours? And then people would say, yes, please. And we go, Kevin, KP, we got to give the people what they want.
Cancel all the future shows you guys had booked for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel how divisive your last episode was?
It, as far as like how the story's gone or mm-hmm. like how it's changed
or no, just like in the reaction to it.
As in, are we talking about the episode, this episode or the one that I did before?
The one that you did before.
Episode 304.
You got to remind me which one that was.
Well, we were just saying like the reaction to the podcast.
The reaction.
Like, do you feel how divisive that was? People being, I love it. And like people being, this is too long.
Oh, right. People. Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. There is a lot of love. A lot of people. I think I said, say hashtag, yes. It was just hashtag yes. That's all it was. So I had people.
We did it. We trended.
Yeah, we were a lot of people going hashtag yes, which seemed like that Daniel Bryant like wrestler guy or something. But either way, the people were really awesome. Everybody who tweeted at me was great. And then, but it's funny. What's really funny to me is the fact that like there's probably been like 4 or 5 people who have. Said that they enjoy Jamie more than they enjoy me, which is hilarious.
It is a competition.
Why?
Yeah, what? It's very weird for people to tweet anything at our guests that is like specifically like, this person's better, or something that's critical of them.
But
it's like, just keep it to yourself.
I mean, like Jamie is one of my good friends. Like, that's like one of those guys where I'm like, if I'm not hanging out with you in 10 years, that's on me. I did something wrong. But it's funny. It's funny that like we'll text each other. I'm like, did you see that tweet? And it's like, it's like, yeah, it kind of hurt, man.
This is an email from Mary.
Oh boy.
Ianis. The subject line is episode 304- come on.
Oh my gosh.
Was Anthony Trolley high in 304?
No.
As a devout listener, I always look forward to his episodes, and this was a horrendous disappointment.
Oh my gosh.
Like, actual atrocious episode. I wanted him to shut up so many times.
Oh.
It was hilarious how often you could tell Kevin was annoyed because he kept getting off track. I wasn't that annoyed.
Please. Yeah, you didn't. I wish they could see your reaction because I think we had a great time last time.
Please make a rule that you can only talk for so long about personal stories.
The thing is, we simultaneously get people being like, cut it, like that episode was too long, and also we want more of the show.
Tangents, yeah.
Right. But we also get like, it's so weird
so
to me
funny.
That people. I feel like this is getting like it feels like it's going to be a personal attack just because it's in response to this email, but it's so weird for people to be so mean about just an episode they don't like. I feel
honestly, that email to Mary, if you're listening, I don't think that that's to be honest. I mean, it's not a personal attack. We go off on weight. We go off on a lot of tangents. We have a lot of fun, and sometimes it could feel like it's at the expense of the audience.
Can I read you another email?
Oh boy, yes.
No,
please.
That's fine. Okay. This is from Emma Sanders, and she said, "I love your show, and so much look forward to new episodes each week. I listen to it while I'm at work. Thanks so much for always keeping me company. I, for one, was totally into the 2-hour episode, Trolley, because it was like 2 hours of my workday magically became funny and interesting instead of boring and quiet.
Aww.
Now I'm very much looking forward to episode 404. to see if you three can stay on topic a little bit better. Haha.
That's good luck.
Tell you guys all, it's going to be hard because this is also the backdoor pilot for our West Wing podcast.
Oh. Ooh. This is it? Oh, my God. I didn't even know this. I wasn't aware of this.
What's President Bartlett? No, I'm kidding.
It takes him a while to get to the president. It's a lot of walk and talk. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, guys. No, but honestly, the 2-hour episode was a lot. It was a lot to handle.
2:12.
2 hours. It was a lot. Was that the longest episode so far?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Eh.
What? It was.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. No, it is.
It's not an opinion.
I'm saying
eh
because, like,
Two more hours. I'm the only one chanting.
No, I'm just saying, like, people, it's weird to be upset about a too long podcast when it's, like, too long is just 2 hours. Because I feel like I listen to so many podcasts where it's, like,
three.
I'll be on one drive and be like, fuck, I finished it already.
I mean, here's the thing. It's a show. The show itself is about, what, 44 minutes each episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The podcast, I mean, if I'm, you know, listening to every episode, I would expect it to be kind of like maybe an hour and a half tops. Because, like, inevitably, you're going to go off on your tangents and you're going to go off and talk about fun. Because the thing is like, what makes the show incredible is the way that we, like, relate to each character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you guys. I'm a total Luke. I realized that this last episode. I am a total Luke.
I'm a little bit of a Michelle.
Oh.
Hey, trolling?
Yeah?
No, I talk. Okay?
Oh. Yeah! You did say you were going to plan that.
Okay.
Damn, Frenchie over there.
I think somebody just tweeted at me to say that, or to for you to say
no,
that.
No, I really? Oh, I was unaware of that. That's funny.
I don't know. There's a lot of tweets.
Well, we do have a built-in deadline because Frappy Hour is today.
Frappy Hour is today.
That is today.
So,
Frappy, it's today. We're recording this. It's May 10th. Takes a little,
dude,
takes a little magic out of this whole podcast.
We live outside of the.
It's Mother's Day, and we're doing this. Did you guys call your mom today?
Mother's,
nope.
Hey,
I called my mom yesterday.
As a Gilmore guy, as a Gilmore man, you have to call your mom on Mother's Day. Haven't you watched those McDonald's commercials? And you got to call them and tell them.
Those dads. One?
Call those moms.
Call those moms.
Hug those dads.
Whew.
I haven't called my mom. I'm sure I will later. I talked to her yesterday, so yeah. That's enough.
Well, that's. Not very sweet.
I don't care.
It's one day. It's one day.
I don't care. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Shout out to Mrs. Adijuwebe. Mrs. Adijuwebe.
Yeah. Mm.
Shout out to Mrs. Porter. Shout out to Mrs. Trolley.
You can call her Mama Trolley.
Mama
or
Trolley.
Nicole.
Nicole Trolley.
Nicole Trolley. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
So this. Oh, pardon me.
Okay.
I burped a little. I hate burping. I'm sorry.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to the Netflix synopsis.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the title.
Well, we had to apologize for that 2-hour episode, but guess what?
Yeah, this is your apology tour.
I will not apologize.
I mean, not apologize, acknowledge.
I'm
yes.
a podcast apologist.
A podologist.
A podologist.
So this episode is episode 404, Chicken or Beef, or as I call it.
Nice chicken or beef. Oh, no.
That title, once again, is...
Nice chicken or beef. Nice chicken or beef.
And the Netflix synopsis is, while visiting Stars Hollow for the weekend, Rory encounters her ex-boyfriend, Dean.
Uh-oh.
Who awkwardly invites her to his wedding the next day.
Yeah. Convenient timing.
Did they miss something
Somebody
in the...
Knows.
Some. I mean, there was the Lorelai plot, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to mention everything, I'm sure. But.
All the Taylor in stuff. Which, yeah, they
we'll get into
over.
God, I hated Taylor.
Guys,
damn it, Taylor.
Yeah, I've got a lot to say about Taylor. Actually, not a lot, but just I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts on Taylor.
All right, well, let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and put them in a supercut. This is episode 404.
Nice chicken or beef?
Pop Goes the Culture.
Nice chicken or beef?
So I should follow the yellow stick road. We'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Try the veal. Augustus Gloop, it's like I'm Bud Fox saying, thanks for the lesson, Mr. Gecko. What are your plans today, Persis Kombata?
Well, we know where all those Calvin Klein ads went to die.
A spur of the moment? Let's not tell my mother I'm pulling a G.I. Jane.
Remember in The Godfather, Michael telling Sonny how he was going to kill Tatalia and Captain McCluskey in that Italian restaurant? Janet Jackson's on the phone.
Jim Morrison is not hanging out with Elvis and the Kennedys. did not kill Marilyn.
So, pave paradise and put up a parking lot.
Unless you think Kate Hudson is historical, it's not historical.
Did you ever see that Glenn Miller movie?
You can't be a milquetoast Muppet.
For 2 hours, Jimmy Stewart's walking around, I gotta find a sound, I gotta find a sound.
I missed the beginning of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and by the time I got back,
they're all gay.
Mick Jagger went to the London School of Economics.
What?
Yeah, and Dexter Holland of The Offspring got his PhD in molecular biology at USC.
As a kid, I thought that meant we were related to Ted Knight. I wrote him a lot of letters. He never responded.
Greg Ginn of Black Flag graduated from UCLA. The guy from Bad Religion got his master's in geology from UCLA, and he's working on his PhD in evolutionary biology at Cornell.
Victoria's Secret commercial, which to some people is basically the same thing.
Weezer did not go to Harvard.
Well, not the whole band, just the lead.
Get away from me!
Catering to that crowd, hip-hoppers, the Manson family.
Well, black how people? Are we supposed to get out of our house?
Yeah. Hip-hoppers.
Okay, so that last one was a visual pop culture reference.
It was.
I Dream of Jeannie.
Why does Rory know all those rockers going to college?
Okay, I had that in my notes. Why is she an expert on rock and roll
education?
Yeah.
Here's my theory.
Rock.
Someone at Chilton said, or someone in her life said, you can't be cool and go to college. And she was like, no, I bet you can. And looked up every rock and roller she could find.
And
somehow figured out that Dexter Holland from The Offspring.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the first person she looked up.
Yeah,
Dexter Holland's cool.
Yeah. Gotta keep them separated.
Gotta keep them educated.
Oh.
Gotta get them castrated.
Oh, that's a fun twist.
Do you like when Roy just comes out and says,
I hate Kirk.
Honestly, that kind of bothers me a little bit because this is the first time, an episode that I've watched where I've gone, I adore Kirk.
He's so sweet. That kiss at the end where she's like, thank you. I was like,
I loved it.
It made me want, honestly, I know it's not going to happen. I don't want to get my hopes up, but in a weird world, I want a Kirk and Lorelai, little fling, just a little, those, two or three episodes.
Just a one night.
That sounds weird, but one date. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, when you say one night, it just has implications.
Yeah. Right?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But above the close stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it was such a sweet moment. And even though he's just he's kind of this introvert, misunderstood kind of guy, it was everything he did in the episode was out of love, and it was so sweet,
right.
And I don't know. And he looked so funny in his little outfit.
And they served him well. They served the character. They didn't betray him on any sense. Mm-hmm. Now he's a really sweet guy. He's still weird. And he's still
100%.
A weirdo. And I think they served that well by putting the button of that story being him following them in the smart car.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a weird thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't betray any sense of so Kirk's a serious character now. It's still being true to all of that.
Goofy Kirk. Yeah. No, he was great. It was I loved this episode, but I'm not gonna talk about my rating for it yet.
I actually loved it too. This is my favorite episode of the season thus far.
I'm glad I got it, because honestly the last few episode fours, we had that theory last time.
Season
was
fours?
Or
episode
fours.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of a thing we do, and I it might be a thing. It's kind of a recurring thing happening, but it made me think that it just made me happy. It just made me happy that finally we have a good turning point episode.
And this episode was written by Jane Espenson. Mm. You guys know her?
Jespy.
No,
she's
one of my favorite writers on Buffy. And then she did this. She's done a bunch of sitcoms and TV shows and stuff. Wrote for Angel and Firefly and all the Joss Whedon stuff. And I think she is an EP on Once Upon a Time.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Very successful show. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Congrats.
She's great. She's great at joke writing. And this is, she writes a few more this season, but then she does not come back for season 5. Also, by the way, Kirk has a gun.
Oh, that was my very first note. Who sold Kirk a gun?
Kirk has a gun.
Yeah, well, it's,
Kirk has got a gun.
This is the right to bear arms, man. This is a country where you can do this, apparently.
Hey, let's talk about it, man.
No, I don't want to go.
We're coming up into an election year.
Oh,
in
boy.
A year.
We're not doing that.
What about
the beginning, the haircut?
Haircut. Here's what I was surprised by.
There we go.
Is that they went G.I. Jane with the reference and they didn't go Felicity.
Yeah.
Because it's too literally too close to home.
Yeah.
It also
another
doesn't look
WB
anything
show.
G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
Hers is like
she's being
almost
dramatic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like this nice moment because it was the first time, maybe not the first time, but it was a big time where she made a decision without Lorelai even being involved. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like it's kind of the seed of autonomy.
But she still liked it. She admitted it. It was like, I like it.
See, every time I get a haircut, this is me going off on a tangent, my mom is thoroughly disappointed with every haircut I've ever gotten.
My mom goes, she just like gives me a nod of recognition, like, you got a haircut. Because my hair, like, it's two states. It's like all there or not there.
Yeah. So,
those are the two states.
Yeah. It's a binary haircut.
The post-it path. This also, I mean, I you know me, I like to pull conspiracies. I couldn't find any in this episode. And but the
any wait, conspiracy?
Do you have a history of doing that?
Remember we found the Cheshire Cat. The Cheshire Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're just talking about deep-seated theories.
Deep-seated right. thing. And to me, the post-it path was kind of this weird thing where I was like, are they springing this thing where, like, or like, is the theme of this episode going your own way and choosing your own path? Or what is it, you know? And... Maybe, I mean, I was looking really into it, and I just wrote it down as a note, and I it never really came back full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's because Lorelai kicked some of the post-its away, so there's not a clear path.
Also, because...
Oh, you complete me, Kevin.
Eventually, when Kirk removes the post-its, he's getting rid of the path and saying, you don't have to follow any of these paths. You can make your own.
Yeah. That's true.
True. Yeah. Very true. Wow, we get deep. I love it.
We did.
That's a better valedictorian speech than what Rory did in the show.
I've walked post-it note paths with Lorelai and Rory.
Right.
Something with blah, blah, blah.
I want to get to the meat of this episode.
The meat.
Dean is getting married.
Or
yes.
Chicken?
The beef or chicken.
I love how he's like, of course beef. Of course beef.
Yeah, like, oh, you're too beefy, bro.
What the fuck does that mean? Yeah,
well, so you guys weird. Are both chicken guys. I'll tell you that much. I'm a chicken guy.
I would have been a beef guy like a year ago.
Yeah. What changed?
Well, right now I'm a pescatarian, so I'm not either of those, but I'm also
I just get it.
When did that start?
Like, 3 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, he's better than us now.
I'm good, and you guys are bad.
Uh-oh. Well, it's become that sort of podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, but Dean is getting married.
Dean's now, getting married to Lil Lindsay.
How much older is Dean to Rory?
Well, they're both 18.
Yeah, they're the same age.
Which is why I'm surprised no one mentioned that they just drank beer.
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
Like, wait, so he's just getting married that young? I mean, I'm from here. Is that normal elsewhere? I mean, you're from
Texas. It's normal in Texas. Yeah. Well, not that young.
I don't think it's normal. I would say early 20s, sure, but 18 is young.
It was really young for nobody to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't... I understand that people get married young, and I have nothing against that. That's totally fine. We've talked about that before. But the thing that was weird was that there was no talk about it. Like, hey, are you sure you're making the right move here, Dean? I don't know. You know what I mean? Nobody, and I guess this isn't really his show. You know, we see the show through Rory and Lorelai and stuff. But to see nobody say anything just felt a bit, didn't it feel a bit odd to you? Because I was questioning, like, how old is
he? Did it feel false? I think it felt rushed just because we haven't seen the inner dynamics of Lindsay and Dean's relationship.
Right.
So we're, all that's left to our imaginations, like, oh, what is it like? Is it like super weird and codependent? Is it, but.
I don't think I've ever seen a wedding on a TV show where it's not about the main characters and it doesn't feel like everyone's trying to convince them not to do it, because we know we don't see those relationships.
Right.
Like, even Andy and April, everyone, like, it was the kind of thing of like, oh, this is a bit rushed, but it was like, no, they're fine.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. The fact that they don't bring up the age that much, I don't know if they're doing that on purpose. Like, let's not acknowledge it because that's just going to raise too many questions
about it.
Like, too many story issues that we don't want to deal with. But yeah. It's hella young.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It was just a bit odd. I felt like I was just getting over, I mean, I wasn't just getting over the breakup, but it was like, it was just weird. It just all felt soon.
With Jess?
Well, no. I mean, no. Just like, I don't know. Dean was just so, it felt present. I don't know.
What?
Never
it's
mind.
Literally not been an entire season since they broke up.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it felt like it wasn't that long ago that we were watching the two little lovebirds.
Yeah, clearly he misses Rory, as he says.
Oh, man. And that was weird because here Luke is. He, you know, Luke pulls Sweet Luke, who, by the way, just gets better and better He's incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's incredible. But when he takes Dean home and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just taking off your shoes. And I got to this point where I was like, you have this weird responsibility to say something. You know what I mean? And that was another thing where the age thing, I thought.
Well, what is the responsibility? Before we get to that, I want to play a clip.
Please do.
And the hair, pretty hair. She is the prettiest hair. And the head. What is that?
Just your shoes.
Shh.
Your shoes.
I miss her. Why didn't she love me?
Feels very Of Mice and Men again for him to go, the hair, the pretty hair.
The pretty hair.
George, can I touch the pretty hair?
No.
It was just
very tender, very vulnerable.
He looked like, it was funny because when we first see Dean, I always forget that this show came out when it came out, because it's always a reminder with his hair that this was like late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah.
It was 2003.
Although, I will say, I think he looked pretty handsome in this episode.
I thought he did, too. I liked his outfit.
He looked like Tom Brady, like when Tom Brady was pretty as opposed to being handsome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Tom Brady has long hair, he's pretty.
Yeah.
When he has short hair, he's handsome.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a wrong look for Dean, but I'm just saying it was just this funny, like, he looked like a scrawny football player.
He's a pretty man.
He looks like Cary Elwes.
Oh, yeah, kinda. Yeah.
Who's Cary Elwes?
As You Wish. Princess Bride.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't seen that in so long.
And it was weird, too. We didn't really talk about it when talking about the wedding stuff, but how stoked Lindsay's mom was to plan everything. She was just losing her mind.
Who also looks crazy young.
Like, too enthusiastic for
everyone in this show gets
the gravity
married,
but honestly it was a big thing. It brought, like, you
not
know,
everybody, Suki and Jackson.
Oh yeah, but it just seemed, I was like, well, Lorelai was getting pressured into getting married young.
Yeah,
Lindsay's probably married young, or at least had a kid young.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay's mom, sorry.
But I mean, here's the thing though: is from Rory's standpoint, is this whole like marriage thing. I mean, here Rory is. She's off at Yale. And don't get me wrong, I understand that Dean is her first love. But I'm also, like, wouldn't it be kind of a huge red flag? It's like, I'm at Yale, I come back for one weekend, and this guy's getting married. There's almost this weird thing where it's like, yes, it's sad, but at the same time, like, I feel like she's going to go off and do big things with her life. You know what I mean? And it was kind of weird. I mean, just kind of jumping to the end, having her watch the wedding was maybe the creepiest thing I've seen in this show so far.
Really?
I knew it was
going to
happen,
but
I didn't think it was creepy. It was just sort of like, why would you do that to yourself?
It was, you know, someone on Twitter called it the best acting Alexis Bledel has done on the show to date.
Okay, I would completely agree with her. Yeah. It's just like, from a writing standpoint of looking at like that script and going like, I mean, obviously, somebody has to see the wedding, and it has to be her.
Yeah.
But in reality, I know this isn't reality, this is TV, but, like, in reality, I was thinking, like, that's the creepiest thing you could do. If you were standing behind a tree watching the person who was your first love come out of a chapel married, you would be like,
I think in my mind, it's like, what led up to that? Is it she, like, planted behind that tree and just waited for them to come out, or is it like she was just walking and then it's like, oh, there they are.
Yeah,
they better hide.
Well, that's kind of what the episode was. She was just kind of walking and ran into Dean.
It's all so convenient. Like, she says, I got to avoid Dean. And everyone's like, yeah, totally, he's getting married, whatever. And then next scene, boom. Oh, hey, Dean. Chicken or beef? Oh, beef. Complete beef.
Oh.
You're definitely your beef kind of lady.
He's in New York. Yeah.
I don't, beef. Oh, you're beefy.
I don't know. I don't know about this. This episode was great because it's like, I can't, there's so much stuff that I can't make fun of because I was like emotionally affected by it. I really actually felt happy that Rory went through what she went through, because have you guys ever been through like a bad breakup and then you see the person that you used to love is now dating
every week?
Right.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Moving on.
No, we have to
la,
get back
la,
to
la,
it.
La, la.
No, we don't.
No, I'm kidding.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's so painful, but it's the best thing for you, because it says,
no, it's not.
Yes, it is, because it's hard to accept that.
Well, you need to normalize yourself to that reality. And when you don't engage in that, like, on any level,
yeah,
then you deny the reality of that.
Right.
So by Rory watching it,
yeah,
it is weird because she chose not to be with Dean. But I think now that like Jess dropped her like a bag of dirt.
Right.
And now she's like, oh, was he a good guy? Uh-oh. You know, I think that's where the longing's coming from. And she's playing the what if game, which is dumb.
Also, now that she's not pining for Jess, she's probably going like, well, I broke up with Dean for Jess. Now that Jess is out of the picture,
now
can I go back to Dean?
Yeah, I just have a naked guy in the hallway.
I mean, I don't know. To me, it was just such a great thing because I think there's nothing more painful, but also like this big growing experience of like seeing your first love with somebody else.
Right.
And you realize like, oh, that's life. Like not everything is just this like perfect, like the first person I fall in love with, I'm going to marry. And there is that weird moving on part where you go, oh, like that. Sucks that.
Yeah, that's why I love the end of this episode. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And but you know, again, I just thought it was just creepy the way that it's that she sees it. You know what I mean? If she saw it like in the newspaper, like in, you know, she looks in the newspaper and it's like, oh, just wedded this weekend or whatever. You know what I mean? In those small towns that do that. My town did that. That to me would be like, oh, that makes sense. And she'd be sad. And then, you know, she'd be sitting at the, this is how I imagine it. She's at Luke's diner, opens the paper, boom. Dean is there. He's married. She feels sad for a second. And then there's like a cute little button where Lorelai says like, hey, everything's going to be A-OK. And then I would have been like, oh, now I'm satisfied. Like, that would have been the nice.
I think...
I'm rewriting this whole show.
Please do.
Yeah.
I think Rory has a really good quote that sums up her feelings on this one.
It's not your fault.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Not... Don't you dare.
That's the wrong. I'm sorry. That's the wrong soundboard.
Dare.
That's the wrong. I'll find it. Give me
no.
a. Let's just skip this.
Is she talking to the mirror and saying, Rory, it's not your fault?
No. Okay.
I think she might have been. I don't know. What is this from?
It's not your fault.
Okay.
I don't know what that.
Stop.
I don't know how they got on there. Okay.
This has been going on way too long.
What has been going on?
Okay. Demi, this is...
We know. Good Will Hunting.
Does everybody know, though?
Yeah, everyone knows.
We don't,
everyone knows. It's my favorite movie.
Stop
I bring it everywhere I go.
Demi's holding up a copy of Good Will Hunting.
I bring it everywhere I go. It's my favorite. You guys want to watch it?
You could just stop.
But why would you want to watch it if you've already seen it?
Because I've seen it a ton of times.
This is one of the greatest movies of all time.
You're right. I agree.
And you just... You use it as a joke.
I have a soundbite. What was it?
It was how do you like them
favorite
apples?
Quote from it.
Actually, looking at that thing, Matt Damon's hair. Looking at the cover, Matt Damon's hair looks a lot like
Dean-ish.
A
little, totally Dean-esque. Yeah, that's what I thought when I rewatched that movie.
And Robin Williams looks like Taylor.
Damn it.
Okay. So,
damn it, Robin
that's
Williams.
A casting.
I have a soundbite and I don't know what it is, so I'm going to play it
and then
we'll launch into a discussion because I forget what it is.
If you're going to have an alarm, you need it loud. You don't want some crazed knife wielding gunman at your throat and the neighbors are going like, is that a fan? Did I leave the water running? You want them to know, hey, that's an alarm.
That actually made me laugh out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a good Gilly Chuck out of that.
Oh, man.
Oh, Gilly Chuck.
He's so good in this episode. Kirk is so good. And not only whoever. Was the costume designer for that one nailed it? Because
I want that small the Stars Hollow security hat.
Yes, I 100% want that hat.
Well, we got a Chilton cardigan now.
That's true. We do.
Thanks to Mara and Jamie.
Oh,
it'll be funny if I put this episode out before our Gilmore Gab.
Yeah, we've mentioned it a few times now. Oh well.
So, out of curiosity, just to wrap. I mean, we're gonna come back to it, but. What happened to the person that you were like in love with in high school? Do you know? Like I'm just saying, like
as
something
married.
if they got married,
yeah.
And
I mean I don't want to say in love,
somebody that you had feelings for,
yeah,
because like the person, it was funny because I was thinking, oh, that doesn't happen to people. People don't get married that young. And then honestly, I was thinking about it, and I was like, the girl that I was sort of like dating, like my like the person who I cared about the most for sure, went on to like have two kids right out of high school and got married and all this stuff. And I mean, yeah, no, but it was such a weird thing where I was like, I'm Rory in this situation. Somebody get me a tree to hide behind so I can just spy.
Get me a tree.
Get me a tree to hide behind. Anyways, yeah.
Let's do a little Twitter Q&A.
Oh, here we go.
Twitter Q&A.
Sarah Belknap. Belknap. Can you please make a dirty version of the Stars Hollow High fight song? As Luke suggested in this episode.
First of all, why does the high school have a fight song?
And why did those four guys in there look... They look... First of all, Max Greenfield...
Yeah.
Schmidt.
Supposedly Schmidt was there.
Yeah, evidently he was high when he auditioned for
As
this.
He should be. He is. He's so funny. Max Greenfield is so funny. And I'm honored that he's one of the 50,000 doppelgangers that people say, people say I look like him.
I don't see it.
I know. Who says look that? At, so many people. If you guys think.
Greenfield?
Yeah, people say I look like Max Greenfield all the time.
I get Cruz.
Yeah, obvious. Yeah, well, that's my dad.
Cruz Helms.
I get Cruz Helms, but
Ed Helms.
Ed Cruz.
I get Max Greenfield. I started getting Max Greenfield right when New Girl hit, when I was like a sophomore in college. Somebody literally came up to me on the last day of class and said, "Hey, I didn't want to say anything, but you totally look like Schmidt." And so I was like,
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, no, that was like a weird thing. And so then I asked my friends, I was like, yeah, this girl is the weirdest thing. She said I look like Schmidt. And then everyone's like, I've been trying to tell you that for weeks, man. I just didn't know how to tell you. I'm like, why is, what?
Someone did that to me. Well, what's weird is they came up to me and said, you look like Schmidt. I was like, oh, thank you. He's really a good looking guy. And they said, no. You look like Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh,
damn.
And I said, Mom, don't say that. It's Mother's Day.
They alive, damn it.
They alive, damn it.
So
our dirty version of the Stars Hollow fight song.
Did you guys do it?
No.
Speaking of Kimmy Schmidt, though, Kyle looked like he was dressed like a character in Daddy's Boy.
Yes! Oh my gosh, the return of Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, can we do a dirty... What's the regular fight song? Do we have it?
I don't know what it is. Yeah. I didn't pull it, sorry.
Here, we can just make up our own dirty fight song.
I could play it.
Stars Hollow.
Yeah. No, that was awful.
We're going to f**k. We're going to f**k the other team. Stars Hollow. We're gonna f**k.
Oh.
We're gonna f**k.
What?
We're gonna them in the Stars Hollow, we the f***ers.
Oh.
Meet the f***ers, Stars Hollow. fight, beat the other team. Sexually, Stars Hollow. Sick Semper Tyrannus, dildos. Sick Semper Tyrannus, dirty. Stars Hollow is dirty. It's a f***ing town. It's a town where everyone f***s. It's Stars Hollow. Hi.
This is the part of the podcast where somebody at work listening to it is like, I should save this for home.
Yeah.
I should save this for the drive home.
Dirty.
Okay, but yes. No.
People do listen to this with their children.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't feel good about yourself now, do you?
I'll just bleep it all out.
You should bleep it all out.
You should just leave a giant, like, beep.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. That was, honestly, my ears. They can't come back.
People just be like, did Demi just recite his home address?
Who are those other guys in the group, though?
I know. Okay, honestly, it looked like a bro-y version of the Village People. Did it not? Like... aside from the sailor, yeah, but also he looked like Popeye. Like,
yeah.
I know people in the Navy, and they don't wear that. They don't just wear that around. They don't wear that for
supposedly
fun.
He has Why are you 8 mad? Years of service despite being out of school for like 2 years.
They went through a black hole in this episode. That's my conspiracy theory. They interstellared us, and
I love it.
And yeah, there you go,
Helena Okoliksanyi. Mm-hmm. Or it might be Helena.
I think it's Helena.
What would have happened had Rory gone to the wedding?
Would have been weird.
Man.
Dean would have maybe looked over her, accidentally said her name. We get a season 4 Friends.
You know, I can't. The only thing I can guarantee would happen is that she would have had the beef. That's all I know.
I don't know, dude.
We got the beef.
I like
we
to believe.
We got the beef. Yeah, we got the beef.
I like to believe that when the food comes around, she'd be like, actually, can I have chicken? Just as like a subtle defiance of what Dean says.
And a subtle callback to nice chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, and also just like it's kind of like a metaphor of like, hey, you don't know me anymore.
That would be funny if this was like the end of the show and he goes, hey, nice chicken, as he like passes her table to say hi.
Zip. Yeah. Oh, I see.
What? Zip?
Zip.
No, I
nice
know.
Nice chicken.
But I think we would have gotten a moment where he says the wrong name or he starts no like where he's like do you take like I do Rory. Oh, you should have said Lindsay.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
like Friends.
Boy. Yeah, true,
classic move. Also what about when Luke said there is no fate? Like, do you remember
there
that?
There is no.
You know, I feel like they kind of walked that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in future seasons, he expresses a perspective that doesn't line up with that. Like,
well,
there's no fade. It's all chaos and random and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But in this, like, he's such a little naysayer.
Right.
And I guess it's consistent with his character. But I think the more interesting choice would have been, like, for all his gruffness and angry hippiness, if on this he would have been like, yeah, we all have a destiny and a fate and a blah, blah, blah. Like if he had said yes to that.
Also,
idea.
I feel like he's putting fate in a box with other things that are like very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like comparing Scientology to like other religions. It's like, well, that's not the same.
Right.
It's like fate, and then it's like tarot cards and astrology. It's like fate is kind of like either this, like either
it's
you
a totally
believe
different
that,
concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys believe in fate?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I have no idea. Because if I believe in fate, then I have to believe that it's like... Well, the idea of fate being real means that it's like, oh, there's a day where I'm going to die and that's already set. And I'm just like, I don't know if that even makes sense. Because it's like, what if I just... One day I'm just crazy...
That's okay, though.
...tired and then it's... I don't know.
Like, in a macro sense, that's totally fine.
Demi, I don't know how to tell you this, but we are all going to die.
No, actually, I mean, we've talked about this. I'm going to live forever.
Oh, okay. Oh, you are. Right. Yeah, you are.
Sorry.
It's going to be a huge bummer to see everyone I know and love die multiple times over, but whatever. I don't know. Sometimes I acknowledge the idea of fate, even in like a joking sense. And then, like, when I think about it, I'm just like, I don't know if I believe that, but whatever.
You know what? It's so much easier to believe in fate when you're in love.
I think fate is the more comforting idea, the idea that there's purpose and reason and meaning behind everything. And events occurring, and the idea of chaos and randomness is really horrific and not fun.
You know what I do believe in, though, 100%? I believe in a thing called love.
I knew.
Oh!
Make it now.
I knew you guys were going to say that.
I believe in a thing called love!
Yes.
We peeked out.
Get you!
All right. Let's get into Lorelai's story because I really enjoyed this because it was just funny. Lorelai dealing with Taylor.
I wanted to punch him every second he was
in the screen.
I
hated
him. I was like, it's usually like a funny sort of like, but he was like actively like,
he was straight up, but he was a stone cold dick in this episode. Yeah.
Not only that, but he looked like a villain from James Bond mixed with a Candyland character. Yeah. Like, you know, the board game Candyland?
Oh, well, in the ice cream shop,
Yes.
That Taylor Tip, baby.
It was a cartoon character. And I mean, I grew up in a small town where those kind of places existed, like a little, like, small ice cream shop. Nobody ever dressed
like
that.
Like sexual predator Willy Wonka.
Yes, he looked so creepy. I don't know, Kevin, you did you not agree with this?
I want a truck.
I don't think he looked like a child molester. No.
I didn't say that.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I stand by it.
Okay.
Not even in the sense that he looks like he's attracted to children, but in the sense that he looks like he'd be out on the street just going for a stroll, just like, hey, kids, follow me to the ice cream shop. And I'd be like, no.
Is this too early? I mean, is this Fashion Report stuff?
It is now.
Okay.
Fashion.
Boom. We're here. Yes. Okay, again, it just was so bad. It was the worst suit of all time. And I would never, if I walked into an ice cream shop and somebody was wearing that suit, I don't care how good that ice cream
is. You'd walk out?
I would say, you are so scary, sir. I gotta go. I wouldn't say that. I'd think it.
But the chocolate really is chocolate.
Okay, first of all, when she said that, I was like, who's... That is like the worst Yelp review of all time. Can you imagine reading that on Yelp? I love the ice cream shop. The chocolate is chocolatey.
Italicized.
Like, that sounds like a real Yelp review, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it made that little part made me so mad. I was like Rory, go back to
Brickleberry Crunch. Michelle's outfit. Oh,
he looked like an NSYNC extra.
This is in the hotel. The other hotel.
I thought it was a salon. It looked like Mugatu's office.
It looks I literally said Mugatu. I wrote down he looked like Mugatu from Zoolander.
Also, Dean was wearing like a sad football jersey again.
So like a giant three on the center of it. That was weird.
See, that's where I got the Tom Brady thing. Was he was wearing the three on the thing.
To symbolize that Lindsay is his third choice.
Oh.
After Rory and being single forever.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. What do we think about Rory's haircut?
It's great.
Fellas.
Fucking love it.
I love
it. Yeah, I'm into it.
I love that haircut.
And Suki's hair.
You know what?
Did Suki get a haircut too?
Mm-hmm. Oh. She looks like Reba. She's got that Reba money. She's like, it's time for a haircut.
Wait, did she really?
Yeah, when she when they do the monitor thing, you can her hair is like styled. It looks great.
Oh.
I mean, it's so weird that getting a haircut is like this weird balance between like finding a trend and also find like playing into a trend, but also finding what looks best for you.
Right.
And I think there certain people can just pull off certain haircuts. That's it. And she pulled it off. 100%.
Kyle's little sailor suit we already went over.
Old daddy's boy.
I love.
When is he going to get his braces off?
I don't think ever.
Season 8.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah, it's season 8. And I love Kyle so much.
You know Kyle, I know you know this, but he's the guy from Sandlot.
Yeah. Of course, he's Quint. Yeah. And then he had that phenomenal line when they were in the...
Come on, guys. Respect the establishment.
Yes.
I love kids.
They're still just kids.
It was very... I was like, that's classic Kyle. It's the same thing he said at the party. He's just all about respecting
and
a place.
And he keeps calling Luke sir, like, all that I'm into. I just think it's so funny.
He's like the neighbor kid that comes over to play, and she's like, do you have any snacks, man?
when I was in fourth grade, all these kids... I was at my friend's birthday party, and the mom was telling everybody to be quiet for something. I forget what. And she was like, come on, guys. Can you just pipe down for just a second? And then everyone got quiet, and I just said, kids these days. And I was like, that was the only Kyle moment I've ever had in my life.
Kids these days.
Yeah, fourth graders. Yeah.
Michelle also looks like the bad guys in Good Burger.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Good Burger, so that's a lot.
You haven't seen Good Burger?
There's, okay.
Well, just imagine a ton of
Michelles.
It's not
The Godfather.
Right, but it's also not.
It's kind of the Godfather of Nickelodeon shows.
It is.
Nickelodeon
movies. It's the best one.
Yeah,
100%.
Between that, Harriet the Spy and Clockstoppers.
Oh, Harriet.
Whoa, Clockstoppers was not a Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sure.
You guys are wrong.
Harriet the Spy was great.
It may not have been.
Rosie O'Donnell was wonderful.
I've really backtracked.
And when she gave her that typewriter, really good feel-good moment. But. Yeah.
I was going to say, I love Lorelai's blazer.
Yeah. Did they end there? When she's... Which blazer?
Oh, when she's wearing it for the inspection, then she runs over Luke's right. Through the moat or whatever she does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, when she gets to Luke's thing, first of all, Taylor not only wrangles up a whole crew of people at 6 a.m. the following morning, not only that, but she goes... Okay, Taylor, you know, says, hey, oh, if you let me have this ice cream truck, then I'll let you have this Dragonfly Inn. And she just darts to Luke's restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally fine, I suppose.
Okay. No one has a phone in this series.
No one has a phone in this.
Well, she don't want to plead over the phone.
Right. But she shows up and immediately just starts yelling at Luke. And honestly, I had more respect for him not just killing her right then, because I would have been, if it was like 7 a.m. and somebody walked into my shop and started yelling at me about an ice cream truck I didn't even know about, I'd be like, what do you want?
I think he's used to it at this point. It's like if you're a soldier, you know what gunfire sounds like, yeah. And you're not spooked by it.
No, I know. Luke. I guess it was just one of those moments where I think about, like, if it's 7 a.m. and somebody just immediately starts coming, like, comes into my house, comes into where I live and where I work, and they start yelling at me about an ice cream truck, I'd say, Jesus Christ, woman, you need to calm down.
Two things. As soon as anyone in any show starts yelling and pleading for something when they're, like, really begging,
yeah.
I know that the reverse is going to be that, like, they don't put up a fight. It's just a convention.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. So I was like, oh, Luke's going to... But it didn't make sense to me. But I also felt like, oh, okay.
It didn't make sense that he would... not put up a fight?
Yeah, because it's Taylor, and he hates Taylor.
Yeah.
And, like, a truck is covering your curb. Like, everything... Like, if Lorelai had just been like, hey, I want to ask, and he's like,
do you think maybe
Taylor.
He's trolling Lorelai by doing that, and he's, like, really messing with her head?
No.
Like, what... By what...
Because, okay, at the end of the day, we know Luke's gonna... bend to whatever Lorelai wants.
Oh,
like, at the end of the day.
I see
so instead
saying.
Of going three rounds, I'm like, oh, I hate Taylor, blah, blah, blah. He's just like... It'd be funny if I just slammed the brakes and was like, okay, you know, and he made that decision to do that.
But that suggests that him, like, arguing every other time is just him wanting to fight. And I think it's him literally not wanting to and then going like, oh, maybe this is good for Lorelai. Like, he convinced
he's
himself.
He's getting tired.
He's also, like, he's also got a lot of other things to worry about at that moment, too, where...
Not really, he's just wiping the table.
No, he's making a hangover smoothie for Dean.
Oh, right.
For Dean.
Who slept over at his house.
What a good dad. And I tell you what, when he goes up there and they have that scene
mm-hmm.
where they don't acknowledge anything that happens the night before. That's
right.
One of my favorite scenes.
It was a great moment.
Of the show, maybe.
Right.
Just because, like, they're both playing it. Like, Luke can't communicate. Dean doesn't want to communicate. And he's just like, you know, and it's just for a show that's all about what's said and everything, all the text is on the surface. It's so cool to see something so subtextual.
My second thing was that Clockstoppers is a Nickelodeon movie. I looked it up. I'm sorry.
We're still on Fashion Report.
Yeah.
I actually love Rory's pink collared outfit and corduroy jacket.
I was going to say, that look should come back.
It reminds me of Jawbreaker.
You know what, too? Isn't she wearing like a skirt or something? When's the last time you saw a skirt? Honestly, it tripped me out for a second. Really?
Yeah.
Where?
A party.
I haven't seen skirts in forever. I don't care. Wear whatever you want.
Everyone, selfie a picture of you in a skirt.
No, that's not the creepiest thing. But no, but when I was in...
Send pictures of skirts to Anthony Trolley. Not you.
One wearing them. Just skirts.
No.
Sounds like he's requesting it.
I am not. Anybody sends me a picture of them in a skirt, I am not... No faves there. No faves.
No faves. Okay.
Unless he's attracted to
it. It was a great look, though. Don't say that.
I love Lorelai's white button-up in the beginning.
Yeah. Always, you know, this is me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit more conservative. Always one button a little low. Like, you know when, like, sometimes you wear a button-up shirt and somebody says, like, somebody kind of pokes fun at you and then goes like, what, are you trying to be sexy, bro? Like, they say that, something like that. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh, no, I didn't even realize. Or, oh, it's just, it's really hot. I'm not a sexy guy. Like, Lorelai's shirt is always unbuttoned, like, that one...
I think it's different for ladies. You just compared yourself to Laura.
No, I'm not. It didn't mean it like that, but it's like, there's like, I mean, look, I don't care. I don't care what you wear. Wear whatever makes you comfortable. But like,
yes, all women.
In a conservative town, I guess that's what makes her stand out, is that she could be a little bit more edgy, more liberal with her
wardrobe. Speaking of her
wardrobe.
Yeah.
I guess we should get out of the Fashion Report.
Okay. Yeah. Fashion. Happiest donut. What's that about?
I don't know, but Michelle loves it.
Happiest donut.
So happy. I had a thought, and I had
one
a thought.
One of our very own fourth grader, Donnie Pass, was named a runner-up in the Connecticut State Story Writing Contest for his work entitled The Happiest Donut.
So Kevin and I actually got a copy of The Happiest Donut.
We're going to read it right now.
No fucking way.
Yeah,
great.
Well, we did. So we read it. We loved it. I mean, incredible book.
You guys taking it to Paramount?
It's already bought. The rights have already been bought by Sony. Yeah.
Fincher's directing.
Sorkin's
writing.
Yeah. But
if you would have invented the Happiest Donut.
Happiest Donut is coming out.
I could buy
this
entire donut shop and turn it into my ping pong room. Sorry, continue.
Well, I was just going to say Happiest Donut is it's oddly a thriller, as Taylor talks about the dunking scene and how it's a bit scary. But yeah, no.
No, don't dunk me.
This is an actual reenactment from the upcoming film, The Happiest Donut.
And so The Happiest Donut gets involved in the War on Terror because uh-huh. that's what was happening in 2003.
Sure, that's what makes him the happiest.
Yeah.
Right. Is fighting bad guys from America.
Yeah.
And so he's in an Abu Ghraib prison. Yeah. Or I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. He's in Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay,
makes
yeah.
him saddest.
Torture?
Yeah.
Well, they're dunking him, and because what happens is they're waterboarding the other people.
Actually, no. Guantanamo Bay is us. He's not in Guantanamo Bay. He's in Iraq in a bunker somewhere, and he's being waterboarded.
He's being waterboarded.
With milk.
Right. Sorry, I forgot the details as well. And he's being waterboarded. Yeah, he's being waterboarded with milk.
Milkboarded.
And here he is. He's this just the cutest little donut, and he's just helpless. He's so helpless. And here's that clip.
Oh, I'm going to pour milk on you right now.
No, don't. I don't want to be happy.
Oh, you're the happiest donut, eh? Well, I'm about to make you the wettest donut.
That sounds kind of sexual, actually.
It's not sexual.
Wait, are you eating me? I can't tell.
End scene.
We let the actors improvise on that take of the audiobook too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned with the similarities to Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, well, it's
called Zero Dunk 30.
Okay, well, now it's...
It was actually going to be called, previous to the Zero Dunk 30, it was going to be called Zero Tooth Hurty. because the Happiest Donut gave people...
I'm laughing at you laughing at your own joke.
The Happiest Donut gave people...
Because you went, it was actually going to be called Zero Tooth Hurty.
It's just the dumbest thing when people... I don't know. Okay, all right, moving on.
What I was going to say is, did you like how Taylor introduced them for their presentation as Lorelai Gilmore and her associates. Like, I was like, you know who these people
There's 9 people in the town. You know what? There's a population sign in the pilot, and it's around 9,000.
Oh,
9,000?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a small town.
3 of my high schools? Yeah. But also, I think this is the first episode that I've watched with you guys with where they meet, where they have a town meeting.
Town meeting.
Yeah, in a barn?
Yeah, it's always in Patty. Wait, have you been watching Patty all studio. The series up to this
point?
Oh, is it?
It's Patty Studio?
Yeah.
I've skipped around. Honestly, I know that sounds bad, but I have. Look at guys, life happens.
Oh, no.
Life happens.
Trolley's life, not a real gilly.
Okay. You hold the phone right now.
I am.
Holding.
I am a gilly through and through. There's a reason it's on Netflix, because it says, hey, we know you love this. Take your sweet time and watch this on your schedule. So you know what I do? Sometimes I'll watch every other episode. Sometimes, but I just thought it was a barn, okay? You guys are mad. You are actually mad at me, Kevin.
You know,
I'm not, man.
On the lot?
Yeah.
On the WB lot where they shot it?
Yes, which we've both been to, yeah.
The only kind of building standing, aside from like the big ones like the church and stuff, the only one that's still standing kind of from the Gilmore era is the dance studio / barn.
Right next to the lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
did you
gosh.
Go in?
I didn't go into the barn.
Damn.
No.
Can I just, because...
I don't know if it's a barn, by the way. It's like just a dance studio.
Yeah,
it's
anything you want it to be. Thing. Barn looking. Either way, guys, can we edit out that? I just don't want anybody to know that, like, I'm not...
Sure, we'll edit
like,
that out. But I'll say right now, Trolley skips around.
Okay.
He skips around, he gets around.
Skips around, round, round, he skips around.
Okay, let's get back to Taylor, though, because why does he, this whole time, like, I just didn't feel like it wasn't a big payoff when he goes, I want an ice cream truck.
It
didn't feel real.
It didn't feel real to
like,
me either.
Why would he go through that trouble when that's really all he wanted?
Taylor Swift.
Right, he is a Swift man.
Yeah, he's a Swift boat veteran.
But
he does make an indecent proposal.
Taylor Swift boat veteran.
Fucking dunked.
Like the littlest donut. Also, going back to the town meeting scene, by the way, there's like 4 black extras, which is great. Nice. I said that in a mean, like I was angry, but there's like 4 of them.
Yeah,
there's like they 4 black extras. What the fuck?
What is going on?
It's way too many.
And then there was
not my star
there was this weird line.
Taylor, I got your penny saver and your girly magazines.
Those are lifestyle magazines.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
So what is that?
He's like, it's like Joey saying he reads Playboy for the articles. You know,
I assumed it was just that Miss Patty making fun of him for wanting magazines that are like more girly, like if he wanted Home and Garden or something.
Really?
Okay.
I got more.
He's gay vibes.
I don't know if I got gay vibes. Is he? I mean, I don't know if he's gay or straight, but his suit is pointing to gay. I would think. I don't know. But my point is like, I don't think there's such thing as like girly magazines. I was assuming like nudie mags.
what was his face when he said that?
He was embarrassed.
He was embarrassed. Yeah.
He was definitely embarrassed.
Then maybe.
I don't know. Is Taylor, what's his backstory? I mean, is he married? He's not married.
We literally have no idea.
Yeah, he's kind of this like mysterious character who just is in a cool suit.
Honestly, I mean, there's probably a little more to it.
The only thing I can say about Taylor is
my boy's wicked smart.
I didn't, what?
My boy's wicked smart.
Okay.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. My boy's wicked smart. Actually, now I'm questioning if you did watch that because
I did watch it.
How else would you get all these sounds?
This is in the scene where they're talking about philosophy in the bar.
Okay, yeah. No, tell me more though. Let's talk about this. What is the last shot of the movie?
It's the
shot. You didn't watch it.
Hey,
you
wait.
Didn't watch it.
Chill out. It's the shot where he goes. So it's the voiceover of Robin Williams. And you see Will driving away. And it's like Robin Williams reading the note. And he says, my dearest Sean. Sean is Robin Williams' character. So he's reading the note out loud. And he goes like, we'll always have these times together. I hope somewhere you find good, Will Hunting. Good. Signed, Will Hunting.
I think that's actually pretty... Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're lying right now.
It is. What's is wrong really, with you?
I just, I can't, and now I'm questioning.
And
I can't
then Wiz Khalifa plays.
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
Okay, okay, wait, wait, wait. Can we go off on a tangent about how we saw, we all saw
Fast and Furious.
We all saw Fast
seven,
and Furious.
Fury 7.
Guys, that.
The fifth highest grossing movie of all time right now,
I think it's even higher
wow.
than that.
It might be fourth.
Point. Yeah, my God. Guys, that movie is so fun. That is, if you
it's
haven't
really
seen
fun.
It, really is.
Just imagine, if you want to know what this looks like, it's me, Demi, and Kevin. We're all sitting next to each other, just, we're laughing with the movie, we're crying with the movie. We're
Megan was there?
We're sitting behind.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Megan Amram.
Yeah, she was there, she was great. And sitting in front of us.
How charitable. She was great.
She was great. No, it was my first time in here, she's wonderful. But it was the guy in front of us, remember, we're sitting right behind this guy, this bald guy, who keeps clapping at everything, like the James Bond trailer,
but not in an annoying way. Interestingly enough,
didn't he give a standing ovation to James Bond?
I hope so.
His dick did.
Attention, no.
Kevin. That was good. That was just good fun. Good boy humor.
Good old boy humor.
Also in the town meeting scene, I thought Gypsy kind of looked pretty good.
You thought so?
Yeah, you trying to fuck Gypsy?
Whoa, no,
I'm kidding. No,
we're about to bro out a little bit. You about to bro out a
good.
Little bit?
No,
I was just
good.
Saying, yeah. I just thought she looked very attractive in the scene. And yeah. Usually she's like, she's got like oil and stuff sure. on her from working on cars. I was like,
there was a small line where she read a letter of, what's his name? She read.
I don't think we know his name. It's just another
He was just a side character, but I was like, is there a
Oh, little... Andrew?
Was oh, it, is it Andrew?
It's probably Andrew.
Yeah, it was like, it felt like a side fling. It felt like she was like, ooh, I'm kind of interested in this guy. Maybe I'll just read his mail.
What did you guys think about the gang of musicians that Lane was auditioning that we never got to hear from, but we just saw them in silhouette?
Are you talking about when Kirk comes?
Yeah, when Kirk's like, oh, there's an emergency. Yeah.
That's a good impression.
I thought that was Boots Riley.
I wanted to hear them. I wanted to hear them. And then all we got was the review was, so much talent, but they don't know how to use it, or whatever her review was. Yeah. I wanted to see it. I was a little disappointed because I wanted to see that.
It would have been a great moment for some cameos just to get people in and be like, hey.
Who would have cameoed in
Elvis Chris Costello. Pratt.
Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello, Chris Pratt, who's in, and like probably on the OC at this point.
And I'm sure. We'll find out. Like, did you realize Chris Pratt was in this scene of Gilmore Girls? He's everywhere.
Honestly, he is. He's, and I'm totally okay with it.
I thought for Lane's story and the story of the band in general,
yeah.
The way they dealt with Dave leaving was unsatisfying. Because they're not giving, like, oh, if he goes to college and it's in California, okay, whatever. But just there is zero emotional weight or gravity to it as it affects Lane.
Yeah, because they built it so much up like he's earning this. He loves her, and like he's fighting for this relationship. And that's
incarnation about
gotta go
daughter.
To college.
Yeah, and then there's no like loss. You don't see like the pain there that Lane must have gone through, even if it was one or two lines. But she literally acts the way about it like I would if like a member of the band, like, you know what I mean? Right. Like there was just no attachment.
Right.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, he might not be present in the show, but he's still definitely present in my heart and he forever will be. But the band, what's his name? Is it Kyle? Not Kyle. The lead singer.
Zach.
When he says something that it felt like just such a weird line. He said, like, that's bogus, cowabunga. But, like, he said, four...
Don't have a cow, man.
Like, yeah, he had, like...
Turtle time.
He had, like, four weird catchphrases in one sentence, and it was like, I should have... wrote it down because
you
should have
rooted
it down.
I don't think you noticed. Lane was pulling a string out of his back for those scenes.
Oh, he's Woody the entire time.
Reach for the skies.
I always liked. There's a snake in my boot, but that's just me. That would have been my go-to.
Did you guys like how Taylor has a rape whistle?
Yeah, he says that. He said, I was about to blow my.
He calls it an emergency whistle.
Oh.
It's a rape whistle, right? I'm pretty sure.
Taylor was, like, in that meeting, I really wish I was there just so I could be like, Taylor, let them talk. Like, I just, that frustrated me
so much. It was so frustrating to watch.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Aside from his goofy suit, those are real small town people.
Yeah. Clown Pillow shows up.
Oh, where was he?
The wide shot of the alarm going off in the cold open. I like to believe he set off the alarm.
Uh-oh. Yeah. He wants to burn him down to the ground.
Oh, easily.
Clown pillows, ongoing saga.
Why does he have his own chair?
Because he's special.
He's scary.
Because he demanded it. another Twitter Q&A.
Here we go.
Do you think Dean told Lindsay that he invited Lorelai and Rory at the last minute?
Oh, of course not.
How would your reaction be if your fiance invited their first love to your wedding?
It depends on their relationship.
Yeah.
But... because like sometimes like I'm friends with a lot of my exes, so I want them to be there. But but at the same time, there's probably one or two girlfriends. Not one or two. I've only had like one or two girlfriends. But there's one person in particular that I go, I would never do that to somebody. You know what I mean? Because that it's not that it ended terribly. It's just we're two different people, and it would be nothing but like it would feel too. Uncomfortable for my fiance probably, but also to that person it would feel like in your face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird.
I feel like
especially that raw, if it was a first love and it's like, oh yeah, we dated 10 years ago, but this was like it was a semester like and a half ago.
Feel like it's weirder 10 years ago for them to, because well, actually
I see,
it's weirder 10 years ago if it was like they haven't talked in that long, but for them to have broken up so recently and still trying to be friends, I get that. But also I would have been like, hey, I'm gonna talk to my fiance first before inviting you.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say that to somebody. Hey,
right? Invite them.
I should see if my fiance hates your guts before I invite you.
Also, another question. Lisa Renee asks, how would you react to drunk Dean's confession? Talk him out of marriage, punch him in the face, tell Rory. I'm not sure if I agree with how Luke handled that whole situation.
I'm on board with her. What's her name?
Lisa.
Lisa. I'm 100% on board with her because, like I said, I think it's uncomfortable that Luke would know that, and the only thing he does is tells Rory, don't go to the wedding. That's all his only move. He kind of stands by, and obviously Luke is one of those guys to kind of – he gives advice a lot, but it feels like most of the time it's solicited. It's not unsolicited where like somebody just – you know, if somebody asks him for advice, he'll give it to you straight up. But a lot of times he conceals all that. You know what I mean? He has his thoughts and it's very clear what his face is saying. But at the same time, in real life, I want that person to say, hey, this might not be a good thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the more loving approach would be either one, let Rory go to the wedding, and then maybe Dean experiences the totality of that regret, and then he calls it off and avoids maybe a bad marriage. Or two, talk him out of it and say, like, don't. Because all that Luke's doing by saying don't go to the wedding, you're just preserving the peace of the day.
Right.
But you're not thinking long-term with, like, oh, this guy's saying, I love Rory, she's the one, and then marrying someone else. That's not taking that into account, I think, into full effect.
I completely agree. Yeah, I don't know. It's
Luke screwed up. I mean,
I don't think Luke necessarily screwed up. Like, look, the guy was dating this woman. I mean, Dean is dating, Lindsay? For a semester and a half, which apparently is enough to know. But it just seems like it's one of those things where, maybe he felt that he had enough time to decide on his own. I don't know.
My thought was that Luke can't tell Rory, hey, Dean still likes you, because there's a chance that Rory might be like have a similar feeling and she might.
She's going to graduate the wedding.
Yeah, no.
She's going to go, Dean!
Not so much that, but maybe she'll talk to Dean about it, which could be a problem. I think he should have talked, I think Luke should have talked to Dean about it.
Right.
But maybe he's just afraid to because he doesn't know. Like, he was drunk. Maybe he was like, maybe that wasn't a real thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just that the little cold feet. You know what I mean? Maybe it was.
I think it was full on, like, that's, he does, like, worry.
Cold feet would have been a sober thought.
True.
A drunk thought, if he was having cold feet, would be like, I love Lindsay forever. It wouldn't have been, Rory's the one.
I don't know.
That's what he said. It's not even like, it's not just pretty hair. He's like, she's the one, man.
I don't know. Do you guys, I've got this problem where I drunk text. And that's pretty bad.
Make a wish.
Oh.
420. That's the time it is right now.
Next question.
Here we go.
Deanna Hubert, what do you think about Dean's bachelor party agenda, and what would you do for your hypothetical bachelor party? Let me play a clip from that real quick.
Yep.
When they...
No!
Okay.
Perfect.
No! Okay.
Demi's tired.
No.
Everyone drink.
No. I'm not tired. I'm just leaning.
Tired.
What do you mean by agenda?
It was get strippers. There was like phase two.
Are they prostitutes? I would feel bad if they were.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only reason to feel bad for somebody whose life
I would feel bad about strippers as well.
No. I don't know. I'm weird in the sense that, like, we're not bro-y guys, I guess you could say. But the stripper thing when you're getting married, like, the last thing you should be doing is going out and getting strippers and stuff the night before your wedding. Why would you
three nights? Sure.
Make it at least a weekend.
Why do people do that? They go, oh, it's your last night as a free man. No, your last night as a free man was when you started dating her. Oh, Demi, you're pulling
my cord. Oh, my God, I'm stretching in the worst possible way. Sorry, my legs are, like, fucking me over right now.
Really?
My bones are just like, yo, you gotta get us out of here.
What are your thoughts on strippers? What are your thoughts on strippers, bachelor party strippers?
Oh.
I think it's over.
I was
over.
Like, I have different thoughts on strippers and strippers
I
for
think
bachelor
I'm,
parties.
I would never...
I wouldn't do that.
I would never be interested in that.
Have you guys ever been to a strip club?
No.
No?
And
oh,
I think the sensation of getting together with a bunch of guys...
Yeah.
And watching, I think with the rise of internet pornography, it's almost like antiquated to the point of irrelevance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I
just stay at home and you can see them actually do stuff. No, it just sounds like I'm an old.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying I prefer internet pornography.
I am. I'll say it.
Kelly Matlin.
Okay. Hi, Kelly.
Asks. A salad spinner? Are you freaking kidding me, Rory? Could she have picked a more boring gift to get excited about?
Didn't she
at the end of the season, she was like, pick out a gift that you want.
Yeah, I like to believe that he's like, the salad spinner is pretty cool. And he's like, okay.
I guess so. I guess that's what we're doing.
Like, that's the only email he sent her. Hey, how are you doing? How's Yale?
Jennifer Lentz asked, the hotel Michelle works at looks like a spin studio. Maybe that's what inspired his real life career change.
Oh, is he a spin studio teacher now?
He owns one in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Have we not talked about that?
I think you might have.
Yeah.
It's just so Mugatu. It's too much. He was not happy, right?
No,
I couldn't tell.
He wasn't. Because he was talking about how he would go to the bathroom and just all of a sudden.
Oh, right, right. But he didn't. It usually they're like, you know, it felt like he played. The script said he's not happy, but the way he played it almost seemed like he kind of was. I don't know. It was weird. It was like a, you know, when people usually play that when they lie about how happy they are.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, everything's good. You know, sometimes when I go to the bathroom, I can hear people. You know what I mean? But he didn't play it like that. He played it very straight. Like, sometimes when I go to the bathroom, like, oh, I can hear people. Like, I don't know. It was just like weird. It was
a very weird energy to that whole scene.
It was a weird energy.
Because I wasn't sure what they were trying to make us feel.
Yeah. That was the one scene where I was like, what am I?
Did we learn what that place was called?
Mugatu's
Douche Ahoy.
Yeah, Douche Ahoy. I like
New York's hottest club is Douche Ahoy.
New York's hottest club. It's that thing where
you spike your hair and you're in the bathroom and someone talks to you through a tiny earpiece.
Chloe asks, are there no vegetarians in Stars Hollow? Chicken or beef isn't a wide range of options.
Well, it's a standard wedding offering.
Yeah.
Also, this was 2003. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like being a vegetarian, obviously, it's been a thing for a long time. And the vegetarian option has been around for a while. But I think now, more than ever, it's very common to have a vegetarian option.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I remember growing up going to weddings, and it was always, oh, you want chicken or beef? But then again, maybe my mom wasn't giving me that vegetarian option. Maybe she wasn't.
She was like, my son will not have any vegetables.
He wants nothing.
Stars Hollow
seems
like the kind of place where they like someone comes to town and tells them about vegetarianism, and they're all like, oh, wow, this guy's cool. All
right, hippie.
Yeah,
Also, there's a weird, because in that one episode where Suki was like, I'm not cooking for a bunch of effing vegetarians or whatever said.
Right.
And then there's like a weird anti-fitness slant. We didn't talk about this in 403. Rory's roommate jogs.
Oh, yeah,
and they're like, she jogs. That's all you need to know.
Enough said.
And they're all like, like there's a weird energy towards people trying to take care of themselves.
Oh, that's so funny. I think that there's a weird thing, like even watching something like this show or 30 Rock or something like that, people are very vocal about, like the writers are very vocal about how they feel about being like vegetarian as a, or like being a vegetarian or whatever. Like Tina Fey in 30 Rock, for example, is always like, she always puts down, doesn't put down, but she always big kind of pokes fun at vegetarianism. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, maybe Paladino is similar.
Vera on Twitter asks, why do Lorelai and Suki try so hard to keep Michelle happy and have him be part of the new inn? He is terrible at his job.
Just because it feels like home when he's there, I'm sure.
It's the gang.
It's a familiarity, but I do like that they actually wrestled with it. Like, we want him, right?
Yeah, there was like, why do we need him?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's people in your life that you just need because it balances the group. Like, you know what I mean? Like for example, Rugrats. If Chucky Finster wasn't there, those babies would have been dead years ago.
Right. And if Ben Affleck wasn't Good Will Hunting, where's he going to go? Yeah. Where's Matt going to go?
If you're here in 10 years, I'll fucking kill you.
True.
Yeah, maybe, but I'll be original. That's the line from the bar.
Oh, right. Well, I was
you'll
doing...
You'll be serving my food in... As I'm taking my kids to skis class.
Right, yep.
Because I saw the movie.
Yeah, you did. Wow. I'm convinced, but you're going to drop a bomb.
I watched two YouTube clips.
God damn it. God, you know, how do you do this?
I could have just watched the movie in the time it took me to do research.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
God.
Lydia Urban asks, why does Lorelai seem so irritated that she has to actually pay Taylor for the ice cream at his shop?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There's that beat at the end of the scene. Yeah. She's probably just accustomed to being queen of the castle at Luke's, right?
Of course.
I think it's just one of those moments where one, queen of the castle, but two, he just kind of hands it to her. If somebody handed me ice cream, like unsolicited ice cream, I would imagine.
She solicited it.
Did she?
She asked for Brickleberry or for the peanut brickle.
It was also kind of at the end of her like wrestling with him trying to do like actual business and like getting frustrated at him going like, well, I guess we can do it at the town meeting. And then she's like, fine, okay. And then it's like on top of this, now give me money. It's like, ugh, fine.
A lot of talk about ice cream in this. And honestly, I had to pause the episode and get a scoop of ice cream.
You guys want to go get some ice cream?
Wait, it is frappy hour.
It's frappy hour, bro.
Let's wrap this up.
Let's write the episode. We're such pigs. Any other stray observations we have or anything we want to go over?
No, I just love this episode. Honestly, I feel bad because like usually like I mean there's a reason we went 2 hours before and it's because I had a lot to complain about. In this episode, I feel like it was the first time where I was like, you know,
I know sometimes episodes are like,
what happened?
Sometimes the best episodes are the hardest ones to talk about.
Yeah,
like for instance the 307 the dance episode, which we both gave tens to. I think. Like we didn't
tens.
We didn't have too much to say.
It's funny though because I think that this is going to be that episode where people go, oh, you know what, I am so team Jamie, and I'm going to get a lot of like, because they're going to be like, Troll, you weren't funny, you actually liked the episode this time. And I'm going to get,
I don't think that's how our fans sound.
You're right.
I think it's dumb to have team guests anyway.
I know. Don't do that.
How about team everybody?
Like, or team nobody.
Enjoy the podcast and enjoy
I hate all your guests.
Yeah.
Equally.
Yo, if you're still listening, I don't care.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. That's so,
that
nice
is me.
Slap in the face to your fans.
I'm kidding.
Or listeners. I should say, no, honestly, you guys have the best listeners ever. They are so awesome. And I say that, I'm not just like trying to kiss their ass, but to be able to see your show the other night and to see them come out and have so much fun.
It was really cool.
So much fun with you guys. I say if you've listened to this podcast once and you enjoy it, well, first of all, you probably listen to it again if you do enjoy it. But come to, like, that show was incredible and there should be more of them. And if you guys think so, you should let the boys know. There should be more.
Well, there will be. Actually, we're going to start doing a monthly show at UCB Sunset starting in June.
Oh, I don't know if we haven't...
We didn't tell
you. No, you haven't told me this.
I feel like we haven't told most people. We tweeted it, but...
Yeah, we tweeted it. So, starting June 22nd, okay. that'll be our next live show in LA. Next live show period will be in Austin on June the 7th.
Which... I was telling Demi, I'm going to start, if you guys think, I'm going to leave it up to the listeners, if you think that I should go to Texas with the Gilmore guys as a guest, just to be there for moral support, say my own opinions, have the episode go way longer than it should. You should tweet the Gilmore guys with the hashtag TTTT. Take Trolley to Texas. if you want me there.
TTTT.
Also start a Kickstarter. No, don't
someone else start a Kickstarter.
I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know who's paying for this.
Shut up and drive.
I just like the idea of that people are like, yeah, that's a great idea. Take Trolley to Texas.
TTTT.
I texted Debbie about this before and he was like, oh, make it AT for...
ATX.
For ATX.
Anthony Trolley for ATX.
Oh.
Yeah. Or no, it was Anthony Trolley for Texas. And I was like, I don't want people to think that going to be running for governor.
I like the idea of you driving all the way from California to Texas.
And then driving back.
It would be worth it. Or I could just walk 3 blocks to a UCB show in a couple months.
Yeah. But guys, the show in Austin sold out in like 9 minutes, which is insane. Incredible. Thank you so much for that. And now we are, and I'll put this out on the podcast too, we're toying with the idea of doing not a big tour, but like a small tour, maybe on the West Coast, maybe a few dates on the East Coast. So if you have any recommendations for venues, we're looking at places like Seattle or Portland, and then maybe 1 or 2 days in New York City or somewhere on the East Coast. So if you have any recommendations or connections with bookers and blah, 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 I'll just put it on the podcast. Let us know, email us, and we'll have a conversation. It was actually, I have to give credit and a stars holla, big stars holla to Annalisa Cantu, who actually set us up with through her work and through her boss, set us up with the program director at the Draft House to make the ATX show happen. So big stars holla out to her. So literally this show coming up couldn't have happened without that listener.
That's so awesome.
Which is so cool.
That's great.
And so yeah, as we're embarking on what maybe a tour, we're still trying to figure out, and don't be horribly disappointed if nothing happens, but we want to look at dates. Just email us the info or whatever you have or any leads that you might have. And so let's rate the episode.
Okay.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm giving it 9 beefs out of 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
9 beefs out of...
I thought all the emotional beefs hit. the sad ending with Rory, all the Dean stuff actually worked for me because they defined him more as a... And what was weird, too, is I felt like him and Rory actually had maybe even more chemistry broken up than they did together. When they were talking with each other, it was like, there's stuff here.
Well, maybe they're a little bit more removed because, I mean, sometimes there's that pressure of like, oh, well, you know, the will we, won't we sort of thing. But now I was sort of we've been removed from this a little bit and this is a different relationship now. Mm-hmm. So there's not that pressure. Demi, what do you think? What do you got?
I have 10 beefs for me.
I thought this episode was good. The Taylor stuff frustrated me, and I didn't feel like it was real for him to want that truck. It just didn't seem developed enough because it came out literally out of nowhere. It was unpredictable. And it didn't seem like he was wanting to be bribed when he was complaining about all the things. And I also didn't like the Luke and Dean stuff. I don't know.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like... Like, them in the diner was fine, but them, after he's woken up, I was like, skip this. I don't want...
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I loved it.
You smell that?
No.
It smells like we got a hater in the building.
No, but, like, it just seemed false, or...
It just seemed like... I was watching it, and I was like, I feel nothing for this. Like, I don't care about it. It doesn't feel, it feels like they're, like, looking at each other awkwardly, like, yeah, that was a weird night. Maybe I said some
we
things.
We experimented. That was weird.
Maybe I said some things that I shouldn't have said.
Team Duke.
Nah, that was boring to me, but I will give it 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 Navy outfits.
All right.
Also, we didn't talk about Max Greenfield's line. Hey, I'm Luke. We should start a club.
I would love that club. I would want to join that club.
Well, you couldn't.
I know. It's unfortunate. I'm a nine as well.
Okay.
I'm gonna get 9 out of 10 educated rock stars.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Educated
rock stars.
Love it.
All righty, boys.
Now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. What do you have to plug? Mr. Anthony Trolley.
That's me. You can follow me on Twitter, @AnthonyTrolley. No mean things. If you know what? You should tweet something that you love about me and Jamie, as opposed to something you either hate or whatever, if you're going to tweet at all.
You're requesting love right now.
That's exactly what I just did. My point is, if you're going to tweet, let's leave the internet to be a positive experience for all of us. Even
yes.
I've got feelings.
Positive energy.
Yes.
I'm at Kevin T. Porter on everything.
That's a Demi. You can follow him at Electrolemon on Twitter, Vine, all that jazz.
Thank you.
I look hot.
Oh boy, it's my favorite time. You ready?
What?
I just hear a rumbling.
That's coming from outside.
I know. It just felt ominous. I didn't know if you could pick it up on. Anyway.
Follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, on Instagram, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. And keep on the lookout for tour stuff. Hopefully we can make it happen. My concern is that there's not enough people, but there's probably more people than we would think.
Oh, there's people.
Yeah.
There are people.
There is some people.
There's people. There are people. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, let's do this thing.
I thought you were going to say something, Demi.
No.
No, don't make me say anything.
No, I couldn't say a word.
Out on the road, feeling lonely. And so cold. All you have to do is call my name.
Oh God, there's so much audio shorting out.
On the next train where you lead, I will follow anywhere.
Gosh, you're just making stuff call.
That you tell me to, if you need me to be with you, I will follow.
I've muted Charlie's microphone.
Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need.
They're standing up. This is so aggressive.
You, I will follow where you lead.
I like that song.
Wow. I don't know if we were on beat because we both took our headphones off.
We took our headphones off and we stood
up. Are your microphones even on?
I don't know.
Did you turn our microphones off?
No, bye.
Oh, does that mean I don't get to play my last sound clip?
Which is?
Come on.
It's not your fault.
No.
All right, goodbye.